Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ball's not moving. It's sticking. Guys are letting the offensive frustration get to them at the defensive end. We're not in a good place right now.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. That was Stan Van Gundy saying the Pistons are not in a good place right now after they lost by 15. It was a game that felt a lot worse than that to the Pacers on Saturday. Led to a lot of stuff. Led to Stan Van Gundy really opening up about the state of the team, that things aren't going well. He's even talking about changing the starting lineup. It led to a team meeting after the game where it seems like the players vented with each other a good amount. It was a while till we got into the locker room. We have plenty of quotes from players and from Van Gundy from that game. But let's start with this. This is why the Pistons lost to the Pacers. It's really no more complex than this. The Pistons are a little bit better than the Pacers, but not much. A little better. The Pistons played the night before in Washington. Came back in a snowstorm that affected travel, that made it a long night, a long time till the players got home. By the time the plane made it, by the time the team bust over, weather affecting all of this, it was a long night. Then on Saturday, because it's a weekend game, it started a little bit earlier than usual. Quick turnaround on a back-to-back with all this weather, a late night. That's why the Pistons lost. Some teams are good enough to overcome that. Sometimes you're playing a team that's so bad, you can overcome it. The Pistons aren't good and the Pacers aren't that bad. That's why Detroit lost. The Pistons came out with a decent amount of effort. They tried for a little bit, and then eventually they just succumbed and then completely gave up. I have a hunch. This is just a hunch. But I have a hunch the Pistons called up Henry Ellenson from the D-League. They were sort of on the fence about it. That's what Stan Van Gundy said before Saturday. They called up Ellenson and Banerjee sort of last minute on Saturday to bring them back. I have a hunch it's because Stan Van Gundy's been around. He knows what the travel burden can be, where a team can be, and that there was a decent chance there was going to be a good amount of garbage time on Saturday. And rather than just running your regulars into the ground, all right, get Henry Ellenson some run, let him eat up some minutes. That's just my theory. I don't know that. Stan Van Gundy definitely poo-pooed any thought about fatigue or being tired after the game, because that's what all coaches do. They don't want their players to have an excuse, especially because the effort, especially defensively, was not great against Washington on Friday. So you don't want to give your players that excuse, even if you know it to be true. You don't want to make that a public thing. You don't want to acknowledge that. But Van Gundy did talk about changing the lineup. And so let's run through a little bit of numbers to set the stage for this. So the starting lineup with Reggie Jackson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris, and Andre Drummond, they're getting outscored by 10.7 points per 100 possessions so far this year. That is terrible. And Stan Van Gundy didn't sugarcoat it.
I mean, we have to look at everything. I mean, this lineup has not played well. I mean, even in the games we've won, that lineup has not played well. And so how long are you going to call it an adjustment?
Here's the tricky thing, though. Reggie Jackson is still getting back up to speed. He's not who he can be, I don't think. And that lineup did very well last year. The Pistons' starting lineup, as we know it now, outscored opponents by 3.2 points per 100 possessions last season. That's a nice, solid mark. Does that still matter? Does the fact that the lineup excelled last year over a larger sample, and really, on the whole, if you combine both years, does that matter what happened last year?
That's a good question. You know, I sort of go back and forth on that. You don't want to give up on it too early because it was an effective lineup before, and Reggie is just getting back into it and the whole thing. So, you know, I mean, it's a balance. You don't want to give up on it too early, but at the same time, this isn't the preseason, you know. So the games count, and every year is different. And, you know, there's some different dynamics going on. So you got to factor everything in, and and try to make the best decision.
Okay, let's make it even more complicated. So Reggie Jackson hasn't gotten the job done yet this year. The lineup with Reggie Jackson has not gotten the job done. All right, so you want to go back to Ish Smith? Well, the Pistons' other starters with Ish Smith have still been outscored this season. Not by much, they're around even. And there seemed to be a clear trend in the right direction. Not great overall, and I'm a big believer in a bigger sample. But in the Pistons' first 18 games this year, the Pistons were outscored by 3.5 points per 100 possessions with Ish Smith and the four other starters. Not very good. In the last 11 games, which includes the 8 games since Reggie Jackson has been back, Ish Smith and the four other starters have outscored opponents by 13.8 points per 100 possessions. That's an elite number. Is something trending positive? Is this just a small sample size? Are Ish Smith and the other starters, are they relying now a lot on playing against other backup units because the rotation has changed? A key part of those numbers is a 3-game winning streak with Ish Smith starting right before Reggie Jackson came back, and Van Gundy looks back on that and has some thoughts on it.
The main thing that happened, as you know, is we shot the ball really well. We have not shot the ball well from three, and we went in those three games and shot 49% from three. So as bad as we were tonight, if we would have made 5 more threes, we're in a ball game. So, you know, sometimes you can be a little deluded into thinking, wow, we were just playing so much. Well, the ball was going in the basket. If the ball's going in the basket, obviously that's a big part of the game and it looks better. But that was the biggest thing in those three games on the road, is we shot 49% from three. And when things are going well, our guys will knuckle down defensively. The numbers will show we've been a pretty good defensive team during the year.
This is why Stan Van Gundy and NBA head coaches make big money. These are the hard decisions. I can look at it and say, yeah, the lineup starting playing better with Ish Smith. And I think something's going right. I think there was just an increased comfort level in running with Ish Smith. Early in the year, the Pistons seemed to lag behind a little bit, used to Reggie Jackson's style, not pushing the pace with Ish Smith. It wasn't working so well, but the team became more comfortable running with Ish Smith. Ish Smith became more comfortable finding creases, using his speed within a half-court offense. I think everything seemed to trend in the right direction for mostly good reason, but I think Van Gundy is also correct that the numbers overstate it because the team happened to shoot well. A lot of times shooting well, it's a streaky thing. Some nights it's good, some nights it's bad, and a lot of times it's more coincidental than anything else. But the key is figuring out exactly how much of this is what, and that's not an easy job. And to dissect this and say, yes, the numbers are better, but is it because of something sustainable or something not sustainable? And that's very difficult, and that's really where Van Gundy is stuck. Not sure what he's going to do. I'd sort of lean toward keeping Reggie Jackson in the starting lineup because it can be hard to go back and forth, and I think that's the right way to go. But it's a hard question, and I think Van Gundy is looking at the correct things. I have faith in that Van Gundy is approaching this in the right way, that he clearly understands all the things at play, that Reggie Jackson's still coming back from injury, that the team has not played as well, that some of the things that were going well with Ish Smith might be a little fluky and not be sustainable. But then you got to make a decision, and I'm not sure exactly what the right one is. I tend to stick with Reggie Jackson, give him more time to come back. But there's another element to it on top of it. And that's that there seems to be a lot of finger pointing at Reggie Jackson for the ball not moving as well since he's returned. And I don't think that's entirely fair. You know, the ball's not moving as well because, one, the Pistons' defense has let up a little bit, so they're giving up more baskets, which means they can't run as much, which means they're playing in a half-court offense where things just tend to stagnate. Two, Reggie Jackson just does not have the same burst, and that's how he moved the ball. When things are going well, he has a nice off-the-dribble burst in the pick-and-roll, can create seams, get the defense moving, and find guys as a result. Because he's not as explosive, that's not happening, and everything's getting stifled a little bit at the point of attack. I think this is mostly a health issue, but a lot of fingers seem to be pointing at him, which is what led to a team meeting after the game. And I think team meeting, by the way, is sort of a weird term. What constitutes a team meeting? When are there enough players, or how long, or how does it have to be organized to be considered a team meeting? Like, players on the team, they talk every day. They talk in person. Different groups talk. So I don't really know what makes something a team meeting with a capital T and a capital M, but this is being treated as a quote-unquote team meeting. The players were in the locker room for a while after the game, after Stan Van Gundy's press conference, which also started much later after the game than usual. So it was a long time till the locker room opened to the media. There seemed to be an airing of grievances. A lot of that seemed to be focused on who was getting the ball, who wasn't, the touches. And Reggie Jackson was sort of on the defensive a little bit when the media talked to him.
I don't call the plays. I just play the call, run them, and then I attack when I'm in pick and roll situations.
In this system, how much leeway do you have to pass it to who you want to within a given play?
Wherever the play says the ball is going, that's where I pass.
Marcus Morris said that Aaron Baines had the idea for the team meeting, really thought that this was needed. Marcus Morris described it as clearing the air. And then so my question for him was, all right, what's next? It seems like all the players better understand where they're coming from, who's unhappy and why, but what's next? Okay, some of these guys are unhappy, but now what?
You know, I did a lot of the talking. I said at the end of the meeting, man, like, we have to make a decision. Everybody come home tonight, decide on what you want to do. If you want to be a winning team, you know, if we want to just continue to get embarrassed, hey, if you're going to play for the next man beside you, you're going to play for yourself. You continue to play for yourself, and this is what it's going to be.
Again, I think this is a schedule loss that has been overblown into too much, but it does follow a really bad defensive game against the Wizards. It follows an ugly win against the Mavericks, who are awful this year. It follows a blowout loss at home to the 76ers, who've been awful for years. I understand why there's so much consternation, because this has really awakened things that I think were lying beneath the surface. I think there was some unhappiness with Reggie Jackson and how he distributes, and when you're winning, you can look past it or only grumble a little bit. When you're losing 3 of 4 and barely beating one of the worst teams in the league to get the win and having some blowout losses at home in the losses, it's frustrating. And anything else that's frustrating players, that's going to come to the surface. I think that's what has happened. And the goal is now to nip it in the bud, whether that's a lineup change or a change in playing style. I think a lot of people are looking at Reggie Jackson to do it. I think that's probably too much on his plate and unfair to him. The whole team needs to defend better. I really think a lot right now of the onus is on Reggie Jackson's teammates to make his life easier as he's coming back from this major injury and not at full speed. It's very clear he's not at full speed. And if they do their part, if they defend, if they do some of the grunt work, the thankless things offensively for now, and then it doesn't come around when he gets healthy, okay, gripe. But you need to get some wins now. You can't just keep slogging through, complaining, bickering, not defending because the offense isn't good enough, because Reggie Jackson isn't healthy, because these games are flying by. Next one is tonight against the Bulls. This will be the next test. I don't expect a lineup change tonight. The fact that Van Gundy on Saturday was already talking about maybe doing something Wednesday when the Grizzlies come, I think he knew he needed more time to think about it. But we'll see how this game goes, whether this pushes him one way or the other. Maybe he's ready to do it now. We'll see, but this does seem to be an inflection point on the Pistons season. Rightly or wrongly, they have made it into one, and the first test is tonight against Chicago. So we'll be back tomorrow to talk about that game. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.